It's really great to be here this morning and share this time of worship and fellowship with you. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be here and have this opportunity to speak. I'm glad that Rob invited me to come and fill in for him this morning while he's out of town. Someone back there earlier said drafted. I prefer to think of it as invited, though. If you'll indulge me for just a moment, I'm going to go off script just for a minute here and say something about Austin Graduate School of Theology. There are too many people I run into in Central Texas who don't know anything about our school. So our school was founded 100 years ago, actually. We're celebrating our centennial this year in 1917. It was the Bible chair of the University of Texas in Austin and housed out of University Avenue Church of Christ. So we are a seminary associated with Churches of Christ. And we offer now accredited degrees. We have for a long time fully accredited degrees, Bachelor of Arts in Christian Studies and a Master of Arts in Theological Studies. And our goal really is to help people to understand and practice and pass on the Christian faith. And we have students who are in all kinds of different ministry contexts who come to us for that help. We have students who are in full-time ministry, some who want to go into full-time ministry, others who are in part-time ministry and active in their churches, some simply Bible class teachers or church members who want to add to their faith knowledge. And so we try to help out all these people with all their different goals. So I would encourage you just briefly here to think about and maybe even look into our website, austingrad.edu, or ask me or call the school to find out about the resources that we offer to churches. One of the most obvious ones is the ability to very inexpensively audit courses there. Audit just means go in and listen. It's not audit like when the IRS audits you. Okay, you don't have to go in there and critique the teacher, although they may need it. No, you just go in and listen. You're not taking the class for credit, so you don't have to take the tests. That's the great secret about it. And learn. I have auditors in all of my classes there. Most of us do. So there's that. The main thing I want to do is let you know what the school is and ask for your prayers and in our common goals in serving the kingdom. Now, if you'd be opening your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to look at some verses there in a moment. I've been around many church ministers over the years. I taught at Harding University for 7 years and now 6 years at Austin Grad, where we have a sermon seminar each spring. So I've spent a lot of time around a lot of ministers. Before all that, I spent 6 years of my life on a ministry staff. In my extended family, we have some ministers and some elders. All that to say, based on that experience, I want to pose a couple of questions and suggest the answers that we would hear. If we were to ask ministers and elders, what is the best thing about being a church leader? I think they would say the people, the relationships. Okay. If we were to ask, what is the hardest thing about being a church leader? The people, the relationships. I've met many ministers and elders over the years who've absolutely loved their work with the church. But I also know that most ministers and elders would confess that it's a mixed bag. With the joy sometimes comes a burden. Now, in some ways, it's like most jobs, and honestly, like life itself. Some days are better than others. If you have a job where every day is the best day you've ever had, I'd love to know what you do. For most of us, difficulties arise and difficult people sometimes are to blame. Occasionally, we are the difficult people. And this observation brings me to the point of the lesson this morning. It's my understanding that the church here is looking to add elders. First of all, what an exciting time for the congregation. What a blessing that this time can be. It's a time for serious reflection and prayer. It's a time for contemplating the desired qualities or qualifications of leaders. For those who would accept the call of God and accept the call of His people, it's a time for humility and introspection. For it is an awesome, and I use that word in the classic sense, it is an awesome task to represent Christ to His people, to be under His authority a shepherd of His sheep. But this morning, rather than discussing the essential qualifications for elders, something I assume you've done and will continue to do, I want to do something a little different. I'd like for us to think together this morning about the qualifications for the congregation, or better, the responsibilities of the congregation. Have you thought about that? What are the responsibilities of the congregation toward its leaders? So the lesson this morning is not so much about the heart of a shepherd as it is about the heart of the sheep. I'm going to use my position in this church this morning to say what might be difficult for one of the ministers or elders to say. What's my position in this church, you ask? I'm glad you asked. Nothing, actually. Okay, so there's nothing new happening here. Besides the bond of Christian love and fellowship, I have no direct link or position in this congregation. I am an outsider parachuting in for this. And as an outsider, there are many things that I cannot say to this congregation because I don't have the right to. But in this case, just think about it. It might be a little awkward for one of the congregation's own leaders to tell the congregation how to treat its leaders. So I think I'm in the right position for this discussion. Since I don't know really anyone here, I don't know what the relationship has been like in this congregation, I can address the question objectively and hope that it's received in the same way. Because it could be that nothing here needs to be changed. That would be great. But if this congregation is like most congregations, if you as an individual are like most people, then I suspect that we can all make some improvements. So what are the congregation's responsibilities to the leaders? I approach this question also as someone who has not been an elder, but has worked with many different elders over the years as a minister in different congregations. I've had good relationships with some elders. With some other elders, I've had some difficult relationships. I come at this also as an active church member who probably needs to hear and heed some of the counsel that I'm going to share with you this morning. Let's take our lead from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 17. The word says, "Remember your leaders who spoke God's word to you. Considering the outcome of their conduct, imitate the faith. Obey your leaders and yield, for they keep watch for your souls as giving a word, so that they might do this with joy and not groaning, for this would be of no advantage to you." This is the word of the Lord. And based on this word, we are prompted to ask the question, how can we make the leader's task, as it says there, a joy instead of a burden? Now, we need to note here that for some people, anything they do in life will be taken by them as a burden. All right? You know people like that? Other people, it seems like everything they do is a joy. So maybe the better way to think about this, accounting for personality differences, is how can we make the leader's task more of a joy and less of a burden than it might otherwise be. Well, if you look at verse 17 there, the Greek word that most versions translate as burden is actually a verb that means groaning or sighing. It's a thing that describes a kind of inarticulate sound that is made in response to feelings of frustration and disappointment. If I were spelling this word, I have it actually in my notes here, UGH with an exclamation point. Ugh. Okay, you get the idea? The air conditioning went out again? Ugh. He said what to you? That's the sound of the groan or the burden in verse 17. Brother elder, how do you like being an elder? How's it going? Brothers and sisters, we do not want our elders to groan. We want it to be a joy. So how can we contribute to that? That's the question here. And I have five suggestions this morning. I don't have a PowerPoint, so you're going to have to write these down. I'm sorry. First, how would we sum up verse 7? Just look at that verse 7 again. I would sum it up like this. Follow their example. And so that's the first suggestion. Follow their example. Imitate their faith and imitate their conduct. You know, if we're going to go through the trouble of talking about elder qualifications, if we're going to make sure the people selected are exemplary, then we don't elevate them in order to relieve ourselves of our responsibilities in faith and morals. We call them to lead us, so let's be ready to follow their example. Now look at verse 17. How would you sum up verse 17? I would put it this way. Be good sheep. So that's the second suggestion. Be good sheep. Now, I know I'm importing language from other passages that we don't see here in this verse, but you get the idea. Be good sheep. Again, if we say that a leader should be able to teach, and we expect those that we select to teach, then we ought to be teachable, ready to learn. If we expect our leaders to be people of integrity, then we ought to trust them and be equally trustworthy in our relationships with them. The text also says to obey. So we should be obedient to instruction and teaching. We should be obedient when a vision is cast and the direction is set. We should also be obedient to admonition. Sheep sometimes go astray, and each turns to his own way. As under-shepherds, assistants to the good shepherd himself, it is not their pleasure, but it is sometimes their job to pull us back in with the rod and the staff. And it is our job to respond not with a, how dare you, or a, who gives you the right, but something more like, maybe you're right. The word in verse 17 that you see there, most versions translate as submit, after obey and submit, is not the Greek word, a normal Greek word for submission. I would translate this as yield. I think of the traffic signs, yield. Yielding means waiting our turn before we go rushing in. It means listening first and letting the leaders have their say. It means giving them the benefit of the doubt. It means respect, something that our society is not accustomed to giving its leaders anymore. But let's honor those who serve. I want to mention now some other suggestions that are not explicitly mentioned in these two verses, but definitely arise out of the principles that we see in these verses. Again, it's in response to the question, how can we make leading or shepherding a joy? And so the next suggestion, my third one here, is gratitude. Gratitude. Most elders I know are underpaid for the work that they do for the church, which is to say, they make zero money doing this. And that's okay, all right? It's not about the money. It's a labor of love. I would venture to say that, for most, this was not part of the package of their childhood dream. They weren't against it. It's just that being an elder was not necessarily their ambition all along. But they were asked. And because it is a high calling, they were honored and humbled to be asked. And they also feel a call and a sense of responsibility to serve in God's kingdom. We should be grateful for that. And they know good and well that it means now being called on for things and problems that before they were elders, someone else always handled. They are the go-to people for prayer, counseling, help, wisdom, care, meeting, planning, budgets. Shepherds aren't accustomed to saying, that's not in my job description. If you haven't been an elder, you probably don't fully know and can't fully appreciate what all is involved. It's what we sometimes call a thankless job with no pay. Well, let's do our best to make it so that it's not a thankless job. There are many ways to thank. In words, of course. When's the last time you told an elder, thank you? Could you send an elder or minister or an elder or minister's wife a note thanking them or an email that says thank you? In addition to words, of course, we can show our gratitude by our actions, but the words are still important. Don't forget the words of gratitude. Related to gratitude, and this is probably the toughest one yet, so stick with me here, but the fourth suggestion, balance the negative with the positive. Balance negative with positive. By default, leaders of any organization of people at all tend to be the complaint department. You know what I mean? The buck stops with them. If you don't like something that's done, or said, or thought, then take it to the elders. Even they are not perfect in knowledge, in wisdom, or even in morals. So, obeying and yielding to elders does not mean that they are unassailable. And I want that to be clear. Sometimes they, like all of us, need to be questioned about something said or done. Sometimes they need a gadfly to ask the right questions to help them see a different perspective. And when I say negative, I don't mean necessarily something bad or something that shouldn't be said. By negative, I mean pointing something out that could be better, something that needs improvement, something that's not quite right. And such things need to be said and heard. There is a place for the prophetic voice that challenges or questions the status quo. All right. But in most cases, what elders do not need is someone to always point out the negative. Do the elders groan when they see you coming to talk? They would never tell you that, I don't think. But just think about it. Would you groan if you saw you coming down the hallway? Be honest. Would you groan if you saw an email from you in the inbox? Don't be that guy. If you feel you have to admonish or point out the problems, that's fine. But then you should also train yourself to look for the positive. If you, as a member of this congregation, are insightful enough to see a negative that the elders don't see, if you are perceptive enough to spot the potential problem or actual harm being done to the congregation, and if you are bold enough to bring it to the elders' attention, that's great. Then you must also be insightful enough to find the positive, perceptive enough to see the big picture of the good being accomplished for Christ, and bold enough to let the elders know that too. If you can discover and communicate the negative, then you can also find and proclaim the positive. And let me say this, as lovingly as possible. If you're not sharp enough to find something positive and encouraging to mention about the leaders, then you may not be the right person to say anything negative at all. Now, some very practical points for how this works out. There are right ways and wrong ways to balance the negative with the positive. It shouldn't be manipulative or passive-aggressive. The positive should not be shallow. Brother Elder, I wanted to talk to you for a minute. First of all, I really like your tie. Nice tie. Second, why are the elders trying to kill this church? Okay, that's not what I mean for many reasons. That's not what I mean by balancing the positive and the negative. The positive doesn't have to be given on the spot, all right? The point is, it should be just as prevalent and just as important a point as any negative. The negative should be infrequent. And it should be constructive. Not just X is terrible, but here are some ways I think we can do X better. And here's how I'm willing to help. Which brings me to the fifth point. How can we make the leader's task a joy? Help. Help. I've often heard that in churches, as a general rule, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. My math is not great, but I think that implies that 80% of the people are doing 20% of the work. As I mentioned, elders don't have the luxury of saying no all the time. They are usually part of that 20% of the people. But most members, sadly, can get by most of the time with saying no as much as they want. Don't let that happen. Don't be part of the 80%. In fact, let's just make that statistic irrelevant here. The best leaders are servants, but they shouldn't be the only servants in the congregation. So when the elders ask you for help, help. And maybe we could even go so far as to ask them, how can I help you? Finally, looking here at verse 17, it says that if you make the leader's job a burden, it will be of no advantage to you. I think that's really interesting language. How is that so? I mean, I can mention a couple of ways here. The first way is because it affects us negatively in the present. As a leader, if you feel torn down at all by an individual or a group, you will feel less motivated to help that individual or group in certain ways. We should still help, but I'm just saying, it's harder to fight that urge to become distant or to back off and give up. I know. I've been in ministry situations where I worked hard to get something good accomplished, and the thing went well, and all someone could do was come and point out something that they saw as a negative. It discourages those who are currently serving if it's a burden. And that's of no advantage to us. A second way is that it affects our future. Because if we have leaders who think that their task is a burden, even if they don't ever say it, people will come to know it. If the task is viewed primarily as burdensome, then good candidates will be less likely to step up to the challenge. That is, not only will the current leadership be discouraged, but any good potential leaders will decline the opportunity. These things, brothers and sisters, will not be to our advantage. After all the do's and don'ts, I would assume that this congregation does a great job of supporting its leaders. But these verses and all these suggestions here this morning are just intended to open our eyes a bit so that we can do those things even better. So close your eyes for just a second if that helps you envision. And just envision with me a congregation that supports and loves its leaders so much that the leaders can honestly say that this is the most rewarding work in the kingdom that they have ever been involved in. What a blessing that would be. We want our leaders to feel the love, that it is for them a joy to teach these people, a joy to visit these people, a joy to counsel and pray for these people, a joy to shepherd these sheep. Our shepherds must be qualified. There is definitely no doubt about that. But so must the sheep. Are you the kind of sheep that you need to be this morning? Are you the kind of sheep that Christ has called us to be? Christ calls us to obey and to yield. And he grants us his Spirit to be the kind of people in every way that he has called us to be. We have a time set aside, an invitation song set aside this morning. If you have any prayers that you would like for this congregation to lift up to the Father, please come forward now as we stand and sing this invitation song.